Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now in a black and white film, a city skyline reaches into a dark, hazy sky. Cars drive along an elevated roadway. Titles appear. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents the Pandro S. Berman Guy Green production, A Patch of Blue. Copyright 1965. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding by the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Alice Austin and Nicole Savickas. Read by Wendy Sakakini. For more about DVS, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website at dvs.wgbh.org. More titles, starring Sidney Poitier as Gordon Ralph, Shelley Winters as Roseanne Darcy, Elizabeth Hartman as Selena Darcy, and Wallace Ford as Old Pa. Now, in a dark room, a young woman slides white beads onto a piece of string. She draws the beads from a divided compartment case, then uses a needle to spear the beads onto the string. Credits continue with Ivan Dixon, Elizabeth Fraser, and John Quaylen. Music by Jerry Goldsmith, Director of Photography Robert Burks, ASC. Art direction by George W. Davis and Yuri McCleary. Film editor Rita Rowland. Assistant director Hank Moongeen. Associate producer Catherine Hereford. Based on Be Ready with Bells and Drums by Elizabeth Cata. Produced by Pandro S. Berman. Written for the screen and directed by Guy Green. The young woman stretches the beaded string in her hands and counts the beads between her fingers. She hurries to hook the needle end of the string into the lid of the case. The lights are switched on in the dark room.
Hello, Roseanne. Can't be that late. You're early, aren't you?
Early. I feel like I've been standing on my feet for a week.
Roseanne's tight clothes stretch against her buxom body.
Hey, what you been up to? Where's my supper?
I'm just gonna get it.
I'm just gonna get it what?
I'm just gonna get it, Roseanne.
That's better. Can't have some proper respect in my own home.
Roseanne trudges over to a dresser and pulls an empty bottle from a drawer.
And who's been guzzling my gin?
I don't know, Roseanne.
Oh, I know darn well there was a slug or two in the bottom of this. Little bum. When he gets home, I'm really gonna pin his ugly ears back.
The bead case falls.
Why in the hell did you have to leave that thing there? And they're all loose. Why ain't they all been strung together? Answer me. Answer me, can't you? Would you like a slug in the puss?
Quiet, big mouth. Button it up for once in your life.
Ah, oh, you no good old drunk. You've been guzzling my gin again, ain't you?
Get lost.
I'm crying out loud. Should have broken my lousy neck. How'd all that junk get on the floor?
Ask her. Ask Lady Selena. Come on now. No dinner ready, no beads strung. What's with you?
I'm sorry, Roseanne. I went out today and the time just...
You went out? Where?
Just in the park.
The park? How the hell did you get yourself to the park?
Mr. Faber took me after he come with the beads.
Faber? He's got a nerve.
Wasn't his idea. I've been at him for ages.
Oh, you've been scheming behind my back, have you? Well, listen, you get any more big ideas like that and you tell me about them. You understand?
I'm sorry, Roseanne. I didn't think you'd mind.
Well, I do. I do mind, see?
You see my specs anywhere?
No, Opa.
Selena sets a small table for dinner.
Roseanne?
What?
If I promised to get all my work done on time, couldn't I go again tomorrow?
Who do you think around here's got time to take you walking in the park?
Yeah. Old Faber don't come tomorrow.
You could take me, Opa. Drop me off on your way to work.
No, we can't, because you ain't going.
Please, Roseanne. What you got against it?
Sticks out a mile, stupid. When you gonna do your beads?
I'll take them with me. I'll work double quick in the park. If I don't do twice as much work the first week, I'll give up the idea. I promise.
Says you. When you gonna do your work around here?
I'll get up earlier, and I'll stay up longer.
I want my supper on time like I'm used to.
Do you good to skip supper once in a while, blubber belly?
Oh, listen, old beer belly, talking about blubber.
Only one thing messing up your idea, Selina.
And it ain't Fatso supper.
What then?
Nobody'd bring you home.
You could. I can wait.
Many a time I'm not on my way till good and dark.
Is that all? Dark's nothing to me. I'm always in the dark.
How about that? So, yeah. You hear that, Roseanne?
With a face like hers, I wouldn't want to go parading around the streets.
My face? What's wrong with my face?
If you could see, you'd know.
It ain't true. There's nothing wrong with my face, is there, old
Nah, it's all right. Pay no attention to her.
Her face is a mess. Now, come on, get moving with the supper. I got a heavy night in front of me.
She stumbles.
And would you clean up those beads?
Selina kneels on the floor and sweeps the beads into a pile. Old Pa stands behind her and kicks the beads toward her. The next morning, Old Pa shaves at a mirror above the kitchen sink. Selina starts to clear the table as Roseanne slugs back a cup of coffee.
Forget about the park, Selina. You've got a nice, quiet life here. No problems.
Roseanne walks to her bed and grabs a purse.
Have supper on time tonight. And as for you, try and get home sober for once, big face.
Oh, go jump in a lake.
Old Pa throws a towel at the door. He walks to his bed and puts on a worn jacket smudged with grease.
Old Pa?
Selina wears a hat with a short black veil.
Does this look better, Old Pa? Will you take me if I wear this?
Okay. Get some clothes on you then and take that god-awful hat off. You don't want none of Roseanne's strappings.
You sure, Old Pa? I mean, if my face is so bad.
Ain't bad. It's just your eyes. It's only that people are so nosy. When he was a kid, they was always at it. Poor little girl. They'd say, what happened? Oh, Roseanne, you just get mad. Well, come on. Get a move on. I ain't good all day.
Selina smiles and takes off the hat. Later, Selina holds Old Pa's arm as they cross a busy street. Old Pa slows as they approach the curb, and Selina takes a step up.
Thank you, Old Pa. Thank you for being nice to me.
Can't do this every day.
No, just sometimes.
They walk into the park. Old Pa leads Selina onto the grass. She stops and takes off her shoes, then slides her feet along the grass.
Feels good, the grass.
Come on.
Mr. Faber said it was green. What's green like?
Green's green, stupid. Same as the trees.
I wish I knew green. I can remember blue. The sky's blue, ain't it?
Yeah, sometimes. Here you are. Now you sit here by this tree. And you stay put, see?
He shuffles away.
Thanks again, Old Pa. And Old Pa, my face. You sure it's not too bad? Old Pa?
Selina leans her hand against the tree and takes a step forward. In the distance, Old Pa walks out of the park. Selina turns and bends down to place her shoes in the crook of an exposed root. She puts down her bead case, then unfolds a blanket and spreads it under the tree. She sits, folding her legs under her and covering them with her skirt. Selina smiles as she leans back against the trunk of the tree. A leaf flutters down from the high branches of the tree. Selina brushes her skirt, then feels her way to her shoulder-length hair. She turns her head, trying to pull the leaf from her hair. Selina holds the leaf in her hands, feeling it with her fingers. She lifts the leaf to her mouth and rubs it over her lips. She smells it, then lifts her head. Thick scars line the pale skin of her eyelids. Now Selina imagines that she can see. She smiles. Her eyes are bright and her fair skin is free of scars. In her imagination, Selina stands and begins to skip through the grass. She twirls and her long skirt billows around her. Selina runs to a tree and boosts herself up. The low, long branches form a V and Selina climbs in the center. She smiles as she gazes into the distance. Her wavy, dark blonde hair blows behind her in the breeze. As her daydream continues, Selena skips through the park, her arms waving. Selena runs to a tree, grabs onto its trunk, and swings herself from side to side, then turns to run again. Selena imagines that she walks under a willow tree, its low-hanging branches with long, slender leaves draped loosely around her. She brushes the branches out of the way as she walks. Now, leaning against the tree, Selena's face clouds over. She puts the leaf in her pocket and lifts the bead case onto her lap. She unfastens the latches and lifts the top of the case. Selena removes the cover of the bead compartments and lays it aside. She pulls out a beaded string. Something drops from the tree and lands in her hair.
Oh! What is it?
Selena struggles to reach her hand down the back of her blouse.
May I help you?
What's that?
You seem to have a problem. Anything I can do?
There's a crawly thing down my back and I can't reach it.
The speaker walks over. A black man in his 30s, he wears a collared shirt under a cardigan. He reaches down the back of Selena's blouse, then holds his cupped palms out in front of her. He looks at her, then kneels down.
It's a caterpillar. And he seems just as frightened as you are. Oh,
thank you, sir.
It's all right.
He stands.
Holy mackerel! My beads!
The man watches as Selena scrambles to gather the beads.
We'll never find them in all this!
Here, let me...
The man kneels down and turns over the spilled case. He and Selena scoop the beads back into the wooden compartments.
Sure is kind of you to help, sir.
Nonsense, it was my fault. What do you do with them?
String them.
That's clever. Do you ever make mistakes?
Mistakes? Even a fool could make mistakes with this.
So easy even a blind girl can do them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Never seen you here before.
I only done once before. Do you come here much?
Mm-hmm. Nearly every day.
Are you out of a job then?
No, I work. Nice, but I live around here. There. Every bead back in a box.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I hope we found them all. So long.
You must be very tall.
Hey?
Your voice sounds tall.
Oh, about 6 feet and a bit.
Excuse me, is that very much taller than me?
Well, let's see. I'd say you're about 5 feet 4 inches or so, which would make me about 9 or 10 inches taller than you. Any more questions before I go?
I'm sorry, I don't usually talk so much. I gotta get moving. I promise I'd get 2 days' work done by tonight. Oh, cripes, the damn things is all mixed up.
Damn things are all mixed up, you should say.
What?
Are all mixed up.
You sound like the radio.
I do? How's that?
Different. Kinda sure. Lots of things is different on the radio.
Are different on the radio.
I'm sorry, are different.
That's better. Like what, for instance?
You know, like God and Jesus not really being swear words. I love the church stuff, only Roseanne, she won't have it on. And old Pa, he says religion's a lot of bunk.
Old Pa, is that your father?
He's my grandfather. He lives with us. You never heard of my father after I got this.
She touches her eye.
Does it look bad?
Nah, it doesn't look bad.
She smiles timidly. The man squats down.
How did it happen?
It was when I was 5. One night, after I was in bed, Harry, that's my father, he come home unexpected. He was in a war or something.
Selena remembers.
Roseanne, that's my mother. She had one of her friends in. Harry, he got mad and he sliced up Roseanne's friend to a mush.
Selena remembers herself as a young girl sitting on her cot watching Harry beat the man. Roseanne sits on the other side of the room. She grabs a bottle.
Then Roseanne threw the bottle.
As the bottle flies, young Selena cringes and turns away. Her vision flashes, then goes black.
It was meant for Harry.
It's too bad. I'm sorry. Well, I gotta be going. Bye-bye.
Excuse me. I know something happened to my face. But is it, you know, well, somebody said it was a bit of a mess.
Mess? Nah. You got a couple of scars around your eyes, that's all.
No kidding?
No kidding. Bye.
Bye.
As the man walks away, a smile flickers across Selena's lips. Hesitantly, she pulls her thick hair back from her face and smooths it against her head. She touches her cheek and smiles broadly. Selena laughs as she begins to sort through the beads in her lap. Now in a drugstore, a cashier hands the man from the park a paper bag. The man starts to walk out, but stops at a rack of sunglasses. He picks up a pair. Now, back at the park, Selena leans against the tree.
Hi there. I brought you a present.
Present? Why should you bring me a present?
I don't know.
He pulls out the sunglasses.
Yeah. Take it.
It's glasses. Like old Paul wears for reading.
Not quite. They're sunglasses.
Sunglasses? It's very kind of you, but what are they for?
Never mind. Put them on.
She slips the dark glasses onto her face. The large oval frames cover her eyes completely.
There, just as I thought.
What?
Now you're a very pretty girl.
Pretty? Me?
Yeah, no sign of a scar. Your face looks perfect.
Perfect? Oh, you're pulling my leg.
No, I mean it.
All because of these glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like magic.
Yes, it is. Kind of magic. Hey, would you like something to drink?
Yes, please.
He takes a bottle, tapered like a cone, from his bag.
I love them. Are you wearing glasses?
No, but I often do.
He wraps Selena's hand around the bottle.
Lots of people do.
Why?
Oh, keep the sun from being too bright. To hide behind. You'd be surprised how many people wear dark glasses to hide behind.
You?
Sometimes.
What's the name of this wonderful drink?
Wonderful drink? It's just pineapple juice. You like it?
Yes, I do. I want to thank you.
It's all right. I guess stringing beads is awful thirsty work.
Oh, holy smokes, the beads. I'm way behind with the beads.
Those beads seem to mean a lot in your life.
Sure do. It's my work, and I promised to do double today. Some hope with them all mixed up like this.
I tell you what, I could give you a hand for a couple of minutes if you want.
Thanks, but you got better things to do.
Well, it's my fault they're all messed up, and I wouldn't want them on my conscience for the rest of the day, boy. So, well, let's see.
The man kneels down next to Selena. He fishes through the case for a bead and matches it to one on the string. He hands the bead to Selena. She positions the bead on the needle, then stops and lifts her head.
I think you're a real nice person. You mind telling me your name?
Gordon Ralph.
My name's Selena. Selena Darcy.
Selena?
That's right.
How do you spell it?
S-E-L-I-N-A.
Oh, Selena. That's a lovely name.
How'd you say it?
Selena.
Selena. It sure does sound better.
It sure does. You like this work?
Nobody likes work, do they?
How long have you been doing it?
5 or 6 years.
5 or 6 years? Ooh. Even while you're in school, huh?
I never been to school.
Why not, for heaven's sakes?
Well, you know, being blind and all.
Well, that's no reason. They are blind schools.
Never kind of come up. I guess Roseanne was too busy.
Can't you read Braille?
What's that?
You're not serious. You mean you've never heard of Braille? Haven't you been taught any of the things blind people do nowadays?
I ain't been taught nothing.
Oh, that's not possible.
It's okay. I get by.
Gordon gives her a perplexed look, then shakes his head. Later, Gordon sits in an office. He looks around, placing a pencil between his teeth. Nearby, other men sit at desks working. Gordon stands and walks to the back wall of the room, where a bulletin board is covered with article clippings and pictures. He stares at his desk, then shuts his eyes. One of the men looks up as Gordon begins to walk across the room with his eyes closed. Gordon hits his shin on the man's desk. He winces and hops on one leg as another man enters.
What, you hurt yourself?
I'm doing the Watusi.
Maybe you really need that.
Gordon holds up a book, Light in a Dark World. Now, in the park at night, globe-shaped street lamps illuminate a dark path and glisten on the tree branches above Selena. Selena lies on the ground, resting her head against the root of the tree. She stirs and sits up, brushing her hair over her shoulder. She opens the bead case and feels the finished necklaces. She shuts the case and fastens a latch. Selena pulls herself up against the tree, sitting with her legs straight out in front of her. She smooths her hair once more, then clasps her hands together in her lap. Selena stretches her feet and pulls her knees up close to her body. She wraps her arms around her legs and grips her forearms tightly, then rests her head against her knees. Feeling the trunk with her hands, she pushes herself up off the ground and stands against the tree.
Excuse me. Is anyone there?
She pauses, then begins to move around the tree. She bumps her head on a low-slung branch and ducks to the side.
Is anyone around? Is there anyone here?
On the ground next to the tree lie two empty cone-shaped bottles. Selena walks back around the tree, knocking her head on the low branch. She sits down on her blanket and holds her hands together in her lap. Selena scoots closer to the tree, then feels around the root and picks up a shoe. She bends a leg toward her and puts it on.
Selena!
Selena takes off the sunglasses. Later, at the apartment, Roseanne finds the glasses and puts them on. She saunters over to the mirror in the kitchen where Selena fixes a pot of coffee.
Get a load of lover girl in her sunglasses.
What'd you say, Roseanne?
I said, dumbbell, I said I got me a brand new pair of sunglasses.
They belong to somebody else.
Not anymore, they don't.
I found them in the park. Whoever dropped them might come looking for them today.
Says you.
Shut up in there. Do you have to behave like a pig?
So you had your day in the park, huh?
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It's like wow!
You sick or something?
I never felt finer.
Oh! You feel like wow now?
I washed your nylons, Roseanne. I cleaned up. I didn't skip nothing.
Except my supper. That don't matter, I suppose. And what about your beads?
I done them. I done quite a few.
You just better. Watch where you're going. And what's more, I'll have a thing or three to say if I get home tonight and find out that kid's been in the park again.
Old Pa shaves at the mirror, his hand shaking.
Oh, look at the time. I'm warning you. Both of you.
Drop dead.
Later, Old Pa drinks from a coffee cup.
Old Pa?
Shut up.
Selena steps behind him.
Did Roseanne still have the glasses?
What glasses?
You know, the sunglasses when she went out.
I don't know. I don't think she did.
Selena brings a glass over from the bedside.
There's your choppers, Opa.
I know, I got eyes.
He shakes water off his false teeth. and puts them in his mouth, fitting them into his lower jaw. Selena holds up his jacket.
Yeah. Mr. Faber will take me to the park today. You'll pick me up, won't you? I don't mind how late.
Selena smiles hopefully.
It don't matter how late, old Pa. Just as long as I'm back in time for Roseanne's supper.
You heard what your ma said.
Yes.
Well, then.
He turns and walks out the door. Selena reaches for the table and runs her hands along its surface past a coffee pot and plates. She moves to Roseanne's vanity and pats the top of it, feeling a jewelry box, a brush, and perfume bottles. At Roseanne's bed, Selena lifts the pillow and slides her hand along the sheets down to the footboard. Selena walks to the dresser and runs her hands across the top of a vase, missing the sunglasses inside it. She walks back to the table. She stands thoughtfully for a moment, then feels along the table and picks up a cup and saucer. Now Selena washes dishes in the sink. She pulls them from a basin full of soapy water and scrubs them with a rag. Later, she folds a blanket on Roseanne's bed. She feels the metal bars of the headboard for the center mark, then tucks the blanket onto the mattress. Later, Selena irons a dark-colored blouse with white polka dots. She puts it on a hanger and hangs it on the wall with a light-colored plaid blouse. Later, Selena brushes her hair, dressed in a knee-length slip. She gets up from her cot and walks across the room. She hits her leg against the vanity, then sits and opens a bottle of perfume. She smells it, then pours some out into her hand and runs it over her hair. Now Selena takes crackers out of a bread box and puts them in a brown paper bag. She walks into the main room. She looks up. Putting the bag on the table, Selena hurries to the door and opens it. In the hall, a man approaches, and a shaggy dog runs toward her.
Hello, Skunk Dog. Best dog in the world. Sure, I'm glad to see you.
And how is my best worker today?
It's getting so late, Mr. Faber. You still got time to get me to the park, ain't you?
Uh-huh. It's the park again, is it?
Yes. Please? I work good in the park. Look.
Oh, this is just fine.
You will take me then, won't you?
I shall be glad, more than glad.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Faber.
He takes her case and replaces it with one from his briefcase. Selena holds up the blouses.
Which one of these is the prettiest?
I think the one with the white spots.
This one?
That's it.
Selena smiles and hangs the other blouse back on the wall. She puts on the polka dot blouse.
Do you see a pair of sunglasses around? I forgot where I put them.
Hello?
Mr. Faber searches the room. He lifts knickknacks from the top of a chest of drawers, then checks the vanity. He finds the sunglasses in the vase on the dresser.
Oh, here they are.
He hands them to Selena.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She puts them on and runs her hands over her hair.
Do I look okay?
In the park.
You look lovely.
Oh, I never heard you coming.
I hope you've been working hard today.
Yeah, I done a lot. Just stopping for lunch. Hey, you want some?
What you got there?
Crackers.
Crackers? Crackers is for the birds.
He takes the bag and looks inside. He holds it out to her, then looks in the bag again.
Come on, let's go get something.
Oh, how'd I get up like that?
That was easy. You lead the way.
Who, me?
Yes, when we get to the exit, I'll show you what to do next.
I don't know how to get to the exit.
Then you'll have to learn, won't you? Come on. It's not so difficult if you know a little geography. Oh, can you feel the sun on you?
Sure, it's hot.
Now, try facing straight towards it.
Selena cranes her neck toward the sky.
Here?
Good. Now, by this time of day, the sun is roughly in the south, which means you're facing south. Now, raise your left arm. Now, that's east, huh? Now, raise your right arm. That's west, and the nearest exit is west from here. So, which way do we go?
That way.
Good.
Selena leads the way, holding her arms out in front of her. Gordon carries her bead case and blanket. She walks toward a rose garden. Gordon runs ahead and steers her onto the path. He watches her closely as she walks.
We're on the path.
Turn right. Now, it's smooth sailing.
Selena raises her hand to her mouth and starts to walk. Gordon drops the crackers into a trash can. Now on a street.
This is a park.
Oh.
It costs 10 cents to park.
The meter's expired.
All $5 if you try to be a wise guy. Come on. Now we want to cross the street, right? So we have to stop the traffic.
Stop the traffic?
Yes, that's no problem. Now feel for this post here.
Selena holds out her hands and feels a traffic signal post.
About level with your waist, there's a button.
Here?
That's it. Press it. That's a signal for the traffic to stop. It'll take a minute or so, but I want you to listen for it.
They stand at the edge of the sidewalk. The signal changes to walk and the cars stop. Gordon takes Selena's arm.
Now, one step down. Count your steps as you go across.
Selena's lips move silently as she walks across the street.
One step up. There you are. Now, there's a delicatessen a little bit further on.
Wait! Don't we have to let the traffic go?
No, that's automatic.
Wait a minute.
Selena turns her head toward the traffic. The light changes.
How about that?
She takes Gordon's hand.
I could just about kill old Paul. He never told me none of this, nor Mr. Faber neither.
Well, most of us take too much for granted. Now, the next thing, I want you to tell me when we get to the delicatessen.
How will I know?
I think you'll know.
Gordon watches as Selena walks down the sidewalk, slowly, concentrating. She stops in front of the delicatessen.
It's here someplace, ain't it?
Right.
I thought so. Whatever they're cooking, it sure smells good.
They make great corned beef sandwiches here.
Later in the park.
You like corned beef?
I love corned beef. Still hot, too.
Here's your drink.
No, thank you, Gordon.
It's pineapple juice.
I don't care to drink anything today.
You don't have to worry. A few steps from here is a place for little girls to wash their hands, etc. I'll show you how to get there anytime you say.
Oh.
Now, how about that drink?
I would love a drink.
Here.
He hands her the cone-shaped bottle of juice. Selena tips the bottle back and drinks without taking a breath. Gordon watches as she gulps. He purses his lips together, smiling as Selena finishes the juice. Later, Selena picks up a string from the lid of her case. Gordon hands her a bead. She smiles and threads the bead onto the string. Gordon takes the string from Selena and gives her his beads. He prepares the needle and Selena hands him a bead. Gordon bites his lip as he drops the bead onto the string. He takes a bead from Selena's cupped hand and threads it. He threads another and another. The necklace starts to take shape. Selena smiles as Gordon works.
You need a partner for stringing beads. System. If I ever took up stringing beads, seriously, boy, I'd probably stab myself.
Gordon looks up at Selena with a smile. She giggles as he continues to string the beads. They finish one necklace after another. Selena shuts her bead case and stands, turning to Gordon. She turns away urgently and starts to walk. Gordon follows. Later, he waits next to a sign that says restroom. Selena walks over to him.
Okay,
She smiles and nods.
Straight ahead.
They walk along a path. Gordon watches as two older white women walk past, pushing a stroller. Their eyes are fixed on Gordon. He pulls Selena out of the way as the women pass by, turning their heads to stare at him. Gordon looks back at them, then down at his hands.
It's wonderful to have a friend. You know, that's going to be my favorite word from now on.
I know a better word.
Well, perhaps friend doesn't mean so much to you. I suppose you got lots of them.
A few.
Well, what's your word then? Or is it a secret?
Tolerance.
Tolerance? I don't think so much of that. What's it mean?
Well, it means...
Oh, I know. Like when I've got a headache, Roseanne says you'll just have to tolerate it.
Well, it means more than that. It means you don't knock your neighbor just because he thinks or looks different from you.
That's a pretty good word, too. I bet you're full of tolerance.
No, I'm not. Not by a long shot.
What a gorgeous smell.
Oh, it's a rose garden. It's 5 o'clock. I gotta go to work.
Oh, you have to?
I certainly do. If you expect to live a life of luxury, swilling down pineapple juice.
Do you think you'll be coming this way tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Sunday.
Oh, cripe, so it is.
Yeah.
How about Monday? Mr. Faber comes Monday.
Noon Monday.
Thank you for my lovely day, Gordon.
He smiles, then pats her on the shoulder and walks away. Selena beams. Mr. Faber and his dog walk into the park. The dog runs to Selena.
Oh, hello, scum dog. This is my lucky day.
Good evening, Selena. Me and Scum Dog, we was just taking a little walk in the park. You want us to walk you to home?
Oh, Mr. Faber, how tolerant you are. Yes, yes.
Selena gathers her things.
You are a fine and tolerant friend.
Nah, just walking. Scum Dog.
Mr. Faber carries Selena's blanket. Later, outside the apartment, a heavy-set blonde woman walks up the front steps as old Pa walks down.
You here again?
Yeah. Ain't you glad you're going out?
Sure am.
Now, in the apartment, Roseanne paints her toenails.
Yoo-hoo! Hi, Roseanne. How's the girl?
Hi, doll. Sit down. Take a load off.
Hello, Sadie. Man, did that crazy ghost. Hey, you hear a ghost telling me hello, Roseanne?
Please, Sadie, not that again today.
You standing for her giving me lip, Roseanne?
Selena, tuck in your tongue. Get Sadie and me some coffee, huh?
Yeah, bring me a glass.
With pleasure.
Are you gonna let her get away with that?
Oh, Sadie, come on, it's Sunday. Take it easy. The kid didn't mean nothing.
Yeah? Well, I wouldn't take any of that upstage malarkey from her. Thank you, dear. You want a drop?
No thanks, honey. I'm sticking a Coke today. Kind of cleans out my system for the week.
Yeah, well, I suppose you gotta watch yourself.
You ain't exactly Marilyn Monroe anymore, either.
Maybe not. It makes me spit when I think of what I could have been.
Well, that's it. Neither one of us is getting any younger.
Sadie stares at Selena as she carries two cups of coffee to the table, then walks back to the kitchen.
No, we ain't getting any younger, are we?
Now Selena sits alone at the park.
You think you'll be coming this way tomorrow?
Tomorrow's Sunday.
How about Monday?
Noon Monday. Noon Monday. Noon Monday.
Selena raises her hand to her mouth. She bites on her fingers as she starts to cry. She pulls a handkerchief out of her pocket and blows her nose. Selena lifts her head. She brushes back her hair and wipes her nose, then shoves the handkerchief into her pocket. A man carrying a paper bag walks past, staring at Selena as she sits up expectantly. He passes, and Selena lowers her head and scoots back against the tree. She licks her lips and reaches for her beads.
Don't stop, Selena. You thought I wasn't coming, didn't you?
I was a bit worried.
I'm sorry, something came up. I haven't even done my marketing yet, and Monday's my day for that. Would you like to help me?
Oh, I sure would. I won't be a nuisance, sir, will I?
Sure you will, but I could use your advice. Asparagus, chili beef...
At the market, they wheel a cart down the soup aisle.
Tomato, chicken gumbo, turkey noodle, kangaroo tail, vichyssoise, vegetable, or just plain pea?
Kangaroo tail sounds interesting.
Kangaroo tail? I bet you it tastes interesting, too. Oh, righty.
Selena holds her hand out to the side as they start down an aisle.
It's freezing.
Ice cream section. Strawberry, chocolate, vanilla, and all sorts of fruit flavors.
Hey, do they have pineapple?
Pineapple? Pineapple. Pineapple sherbet. You want some?
I guess so. It's not easy to choose. Makes
one
you
pineapple sherbet.
Kind of greedy.
And one vanilla for the experience. Now, what's next? Eggs, bread, milk. That's over here. Hey, hop on.
Gordon takes her hands.
Step up.
She stands in the back of the shopping cart.
Continuing along aisle three, on your right, exotic fruits of the earth. Pears, pineapples, peaches, apricots, plums, mango, lychees, Libby's Wonderland. And on your left, spices from the Orient. Aisle five, candy cookies, cereal pickles. Aisle six, prepared foods, canned soups, and vegetable cereal, baking goods. Muller!
They zoom across the store.
Almost forgot I'm out of detergent. Now, this is where I really need your help. Hmm? There's Swish.
Keeps your hands soft as velvet.
Good. Whiz.
Retains your girlish skin.
Marvelous. Jiffy.
Jiffy makes you feel like a princess.
Oh, beautiful. Froth.
Froth. I never heard that one.
That one's just for washing dishes, but that's the one we need.
Gordon races Selena into the produce section, then spins the cart around.
Off you get. No room for passengers now.
Oh, this sure is fun. And the way Roseanne always gripes about marketing.
You know what this is?
He hands her a vegetable.
Tomato. Don't buy this one. It's too soft.
Thanks, kid. Go get me some oranges.
Me?
Yeah. Straight ahead.
How many?
Dozen.
Selena walks to the stack of oranges, holding her arm out in front of her. She feels for the fruit, then begins to fill her bag. She grabs oranges from the stack and drops them into the bag one by one. Gordon fills a bag with tomatoes, then puts the bag onto a scale. Behind him, Selena continues filling her bag, taking oranges from the bottom of the stack. Gordon turns to watch as Selena takes an orange and the whole stack rolls down. He sprints to the oranges and leans up against the stack.
Did I drop one?
He looks at her, then stares down at the oranges. Gordon begins to inch slowly away from the pile. The oranges stay put as he backs away, his hand raised cautiously in front of the stack. Gordon turns to Selena and moves her hand to the top of the pile.
Take them from the top. Safer.
9, 10, 11, 12.
That's it. Now, all we have to do is pay.
It'll cost a fortune. You must be very rich.
Not so you'd notice.
Now at the checkout counter.
What's happening now?
They're adding it all up.
In their head?
No, on machines. They don't use heads anymore.
He hands Selena her bead case and blanket.
Hey, beads. We're gonna have to dump the rest of this stuff. My pad's just around a corner. You don't mind, do you?
No, I don't mind.
Later, they walk up the steps in front of an apartment building. Inside.
Here. Turn to the left. And whoa! Oh.
They stand in an elevator. Gordon presses a button.
Oh, man, what's happening?
What do you think is happening?
Is this an elevator?
Yes.
Oh, I thought we was going to hit the ceiling.
The door opens and Gordon leads Selena out.
Now, this is a hallway.
Selena bends down and feels the floor.
Jeepers.
What is it?
Carpet in the hall?
Shh.
Don't laugh so loud.
You're too much.
He unlocks a door and opens it, then walks in. Selena follows.
Oh, my, it's cool in here.
It's air conditioned.
Is it all new?
No, why?
It smells new.
Come, you sit down over here while I go dump this stuff.
Selena sits on a couch. Gordon turns on a radio. Selena bounces on the couch cushion.
You sure you're not rich?
Quite sure.
He walks into another room. Selena stands and holds onto the back of a chair. A man walks into the apartment. He eyes Selena curiously.
Hello.
Hello.
You been taken care of?
It's all right. I'm just waiting for Mr. Ralph.
Oh, where is he?
He's in there putting some stuff away.
Well, maybe I can help you then. What was it you wanted?
Nothing. I'm a friend of his.
Oh, I see. Oh, please, sit down.
It's noise.
I'm Mark. I'm Gordon's brother.
Oh.
He must have forgotten his manners leaving you alone like this. But sit down. I'll go dig him out.
Say, bro. What goes on here?
Hi. What happened? A hospital burned down or something?
Whip, man. I just dropped in for a shower and some sack time. But what's with little orphan Annie out there?
Nothing.
She says she's a friend of yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Since when? I never saw her before.
Well, since a few days.
Where'd she come from, this,
Selena.
Well, thanks. Where'd you meet her?
In a park.
In the... Oh, man. You picking up chicks in the park now?
Knock it off. That kid's blind.
Oh. Yeah, I thought there was something a bit off-center, but I still don't get it.
It's very simple. She's blind and she needs help. She's just a friend.
Very touching. And you gotta be out of your mind. The most you're likely to get out of this is a kick in the pants.
Why don't you go take a shower and cool off? You want some lunch?
No, thanks. I had mine.
That was Mark.
I know. Talks fast, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's a bit wound up. He's been having a tough time at the hospital.
He been sick?
No, he works there. He's an intern. And he thinks he's one great ball of fire.
What do you think?
I think he's one great ball of fire.
I thought you thought that.
Selena feels a small box on top of a bookcase. Gordon watches her.
Open that.
Il pleut, Bézière, presse te blanc mouton, allons sous la chaumière, Bézière vite à l'eau, j'entends sous le feuillage, l'eau qui tombe à grand bruit, voici.
Where'd you get it?
It belonged to my grandmother.
Can we play it again? How do you wind it up?
Look, I'm starved. Come on, bring it in the kitchen and I'll show you how.
Later, Selena sits in front of a plate of peach halves and cottage cheese. As she touches a peach with her spoon, it slips away. Gordon watches as she grabs the peach between her fingers and digs into it with the spoon.
Mmm, this tastes real good.
Glad you like it. It's nothing special.
Maybe it's because we're sharing it. It's great eating and talking, man. Most of the time I have the radio on, but you can't talk to the radio.
Here's your milk.
Oh, thanks.
Gordon sits at the table. Selena almost knocks over her milk.
Oh.
She picks up the music box and opens it.
Sounds so gentle. I bet your grandmother was just like that. Sweet and gentle. What was her name?
It's Pearl.
Well, that suits her. I had a friend called Pearl once.
Hmm?
She used to come up to the room and play with me. We had a lot of fun together. Me and Pearl, we was great buddies.
Not anymore?
Nah. Roseanne, she put a stop to that.
What for?
She came home early one day and raised hell.
What were you up to?
Nothing much. She got mad because Pearl's color, you know, black. She said I could never have a black friend.
Did you ask her why?
When Roseanne gets going, you don't bother about why. You just keep out of the way. Pity Pearl was colored. Anyhow, she never came no more.
When was this?
A long time ago. I was only 9, but I missed Pearl a lot. She was my only friend till now. She used to teach me things, too. Everybody ought to have a friend. Well, go on, tell me about your grandmother. Where'd she get the music box?
Oh, it was a present.
From a man?
That's right.
And did he marry her?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
I don't know why not. I don't know all the details. See, my grandmother was...
Yes, come on.
Well, the man, he was from a different world, you know. He was very rich and important.
And she?
She was just a beautiful woman.
Well, go on, tell me some more.
I don't know anymore.
You must know some more. The man, he was her lover. Yes?
Yes, they were lovers.
What are you laughing at?
You sound so experienced. You're a baby.
I'm no baby, Gordon. I got experience.
You have
you? Yeah, I've been done over about a year back. I don't know who he was. Some fellow Roseanne brought back. I could tell they'd been drinking.
Don't pay no attention to her.
I ain't no circus performer.
Oh, but she can't see nothing.
Yeah, but you better get rid of her.
Oh, all right. I'll go find the old man. He can take her for a while.
Selena remembers sitting on her cot.
Quite a find.
The man locks the apartment door and checks the knob. He lurches over to her, knocking into the table.
Come on!
He puts his hand over her mouth.
No! Not to get a bite, you little tissue.
Selena runs for the door. She clutches the knob, but the man grabs her hands and forces her to the floor. He leans in on top of her. She struggles. He positions himself over her and forces his lips onto her mouth.
Old Paul blew his top when he heard about that. Roseanne had to take another room down the hall. I don't think she ever forgave me for that. You know, I always used to think Roseanne was having a good time for herself on that bed of hers. I know better now. I feel a bit sorry for her sometimes. Are you still there, Gordon?
I'm here.
Selena turns back to her food and begins to eat. Gordon stares down at the table, then picks up his spoon. Later, in the living room, the bead case is open and filled with necklaces. Selena feels the pages of a large Braille book. She looks up as the record player changes records. Gordon walks out wearing a suit.
What do you think of the book?
I never knew you could feel words, but I can't read it any more than an ordinary.
You will.
Matter of fact, that one was written by a blind woman. She was deaf and dumb as well.
Don't seem possible.
Certainly is. Come, we have to go.
Selena closes the book and puts it aside. She leans forward and feels for the music box on a coffee table. She takes the box and carries it back to the bookcase where she sets it down. Gordon watches as Selena lifts the lid. She turns to Gordon hesitantly, then turns away.
Would you like to take it with you?
You mean it?
Later at night, Selena sits under the tree, fingering the music box.
Get a load of Lover Girl in her sunglasses.
What'd you say, Rosette?
I said I got me a brand new pair of sunglasses.
Closing the box, Selena clutches it to her chest. She feels around on the ground beside her. Her fingers scratching at the loose earth, she quickly digs a hole at the base of the tree with one hand. Wiping her hand on her skirt, she reaches into her pocket, pulls out a handkerchief and lays it across her lap. She carefully folds the white handkerchief around the ornate little box, kisses it, then places it in the hole. She pushes the loose dirt over the box, filling the hole, then brushes her hands over the top, smoothing the area. As she settles back against the tree trunk, a breeze begins to stir, blowing her long hair off her shoulders. The wind picks up, shaking the leafy branches over Selena's head. Holding her billowing skirt down over her knees, Selena looks around, then stands up, her back against the tree. Nearby, crumpled newspapers fly out of a large metal trash can. The wind pins one of the pages against Selena's ankle. She frees herself and the page blows away. Selena gathers her blanket and bead case and steps away from the tree. She runs back to the tree, drops her case, and clings to the trunk. Trembling, she covers her ears, then cowers against the tree's rough bark. As Selena looks up, raindrops begin to fall. As it starts to pour, a man sprints by on the path, holding a wet newspaper over his head. A woman in a sleeveless blouse follows him. A small spotted dog gallops by. Selena, her rigid fingers splayed, presses herself against the tree. As rain streams down her face, she grimaces, shaking all over. She covers her mouth with her hand. Gordon rushes up behind her, wearing a trench coat, and sweeps her up in his arms. Selena wraps her arms tightly around his neck as he carries her across the grass to a gazebo and sets her down on a bench inside.
You're safe now.
He smooths her hair, then shakes the water off his hands.
Don't cry.
He unbuttons his coat.
Don't cry anymore. Here, take my coat. Put it around you.
He drapes his coat over her shoulders. Sitting beside her, Gordon pulls a handkerchief out of his suit pocket and wipes her face.
Go on, baby. Don't cry.
Stop, Gulp.
You will, you will.
He dries her hands.
What made you come?
I don't know.
He glances around.
Is it dark?
Yep.
I'm glad.
Why?
Makes you more like me.
Gordon exhales a frosty breath, then wipes his forehead.
Stopped.
Gordon peers outside, then gets up. He holds his hand out under the dripping roof.
Yeah.
He goes back to Selena.
Seems to be all over now.
He takes her hand.
Is your grandfather coming for you?
Yes.
Good.
because I have to get back to work.
Is there a step?
Yeah, two.
Don't let go.
I won't.
They walk outside.
Okay?
They head down the path, Selena wearing the trench coat and sunglasses.
I love you so much.
Don't be silly, Selena.
I do love you.
Stop it. You hardly know me.
They step off the path.
Here's your tree.
Gordon turns around, glancing about the park.
You sure your grandfather's coming?
Opa? Oh, sure, he's bound to come soon. Thank you for coming back. I was crazy to get scared. It's time I grew up and stopped acting like a kid. I'll be fine now. I'll be fine. Opa, he's bound to come soon.
Gordon turns up his collar.
Lena?
Opa stumbles out of the darkness.
Lena, you still here?
That's him now. He's plaster for sure.
Lena!
Gordon squints toward the disheveled old man.
Lena! You blind broad. Lena!
Don't let him see us.
She gives Gordon back his coat.
Lena! How the heck are you?
You poor darling.
Selena smiles as Gordon puts his arm around her. He glances down at her, then backs away and starts off.
Selena!
Here! I'm here, Opa!
As he staggers toward her, Selena goes over to the tree. Turning her back to Opa, she quickly removes her sunglasses and picks up her blanket and bead case. Opa steadies himself with his hand on her shoulder. Nearby, Gordon watches them. As they walk toward him, he throws his coat over his shoulder and moves on. Selena and Old Pa walk off through the shadowy park. The next morning, sunlight brightens their tiny apartment. Old Pa lies in his twin bed facing the wall. On the floor, clothes drape across an overturned chair, and mud stains the rug beneath a pair of men's leather boots. Across the room, Selena awakens. Pushing down the patchwork quilt, she sits up.
Oh, my darling.
A wide smile grows on her face.
Oh, my darling.
She drops her head on her bent knees, then looks up. Biting her lip, she scoots toward the end of her bed, kneels, and opens the window beside her. A breeze blows back her wavy hair as she pushes the sheer curtain aside and gazes out. Opa turns over in bed. Across the room, Roseanne sleeps, one arm under her pillow. Selena, wearing a knee-length white slip, climbs out of bed and picks up clothes off the back of a chair. Heading across the room, she kicks something, stops, and squats down. Feeling the overturned chair, she collects the clothes off it and stands it back up. With an armload of laundry, Selena goes over to the chair at Roseanne's vanity and picks up a bra and some stockings. Heading back across the room, she picks up a blanket off one of the dining table chairs. In the kitchen, she sets the laundry down on a wooden table beside a metal washtub. As she places the clothes piece by piece into the tub, she picks up Roseanne's lacy black bra. Holding it up, she feels the fabric, then cups her breast in her hand. Blinking her eyes, Selena places the bra in the tub. Later, she pours coffee for Roseanne, who sits at the table eyeing her thoughtfully. Selena goes into the kitchen.
Where's your lunchbox, Opa?
I don't know. Maybe left in the saloon. I don't know.
He towels off his face.
Opa, you and I should punch the time clock for you this morning?
Opa looks around.
You speaking to me?
Well, you're going to be good and late, ain't you? I'll punch the clock for you.
He gives her a bewildered stare.
Thanks, Rosanna. Good of you. Oh, I feel terrible.
Oh, that's tough. A poor old fellow like you oughtn't to have to rush.
Selena listens, furrowing her brow.
You all right, Roseanne?
Oh, I'm fine. I feel good and rested. Said he treated me to supper last night. We took it easy.
Beats me how anybody could take it easy with that broad.
Well, she'll make it exactly hard to get now, huh?
She grins. He holds his head.
Don't kill yourself. It wasn't that funny. Well, I gotta get going.
She gets up from the table.
Poor old Buzzard. They're gonna be real late this morning. What with taking Selena to the park and all.
What you say?
Well, you're gonna be in a real bind if you take her with you.
Like hell.
Like hell you are, or like hell you ain't, huh?
Like hell I ain't. And finish with that baloney, going in the park in the middle of the night and pouring rain. Wonder I ain't dead. Nuts to that.
Selena stares at him.
Goodbye, Selena.
Goodbye, Roseanne.
With a sly smile, Roseanne leaves. As old Pa puts on his jacket, Selena hands him the glass with his false teeth and holds out a paper sack.
You didn't mean that, old Pa, did you? You are taking me, aren't you?
What's this?
That's your lunch. You are taking me to the park, aren't you?
No. I'll throw that hula hula.
He pops his teeth in, grabs his lunch, and leaves. Selena stares after him. Later, in the kitchen, Selena wrings out a pair of socks in the wash tub, then pins them up on a clothesline which runs between the dingy walls. Running her hand along the hanging laundry, she goes into the other room, pauses at the table, then strolls over to the dresser beside the door. She unlatches her bead case on the dresser, lifts the lid, and takes out a strand of the graduated white beads. Clutching the necklace in front of her chest, Selena runs the beads through her fingers. Her brow furrows as she cocks her head, then puts the necklace back in the case and closes it. Turning around, Selena heads back toward the kitchen. She stops and turns on a small white radio. She walks over to the open window, brushes the curtain aside, and gazes out. Her brow still pinched, Selena turns around. Strolling across the room, she tilts her head up and trails her hand along the tabletop as she passes. Now in the park, Gordon, wearing a suit and dress shoes, paces on the grass near Selena's tree. In the apartment, Selena goes over to her dresser, slides open the top drawer, and removes her sunglasses. Putting them on, she smooths her hair back behind her headband and strides out the apartment door. Outside, delivery trucks and chrome-trimmed sedans move along the four-lane street. Selena feels her way along a storefront, her right hand skirting across the plate glass window. Clutching a white handkerchief to her chest, she slides into a shop entry, follows the glass, then moves out of the doorway. She shrinks back as a kid whizzes past on a skateboard. Venturing out, she moves along the storefront, then rounds the stuccoed corner of the building. As she feels her way along a wall of tiles, her hand slips through a stranger's bent elbow. Startled, she draws her hands toward her face and walks around him. A group of skateboarders zip past Selena. She flattens her back against a shop window. As she steps forward, another kid rolls by. Selena slowly inches along the wall as three more skateboarders pass by. With awkward, tentative steps, Selena continues down the street. As she turns the corner of a building, her hands meet the shoulder of a white-haired man. He grips her thin arm and steers her forward. Hands outstretched, Selena crosses in front of hurried pedestrians. She reaches a light post, feels around it, then bumps into a man in a checked sport coat. He shoves her off.
Watch it. Leave me alone.
People push past her.
Help me! Somebody, please help me.
You sick, honey?
No, I'm blind. Can you get me across the street?
Sure, come on.
The woman puts her arm around Selena's waist and takes her hand. They cross the busy street.
Watch your step.
They step onto the curb.
Take it easy, okay?
The woman leaves. People crowd toward the corner, pushing against Selena, who gets turned around. She looks back, then turns toward the street. Shoulder to shoulder in a flow of people, she steps off the curb and walks back across the street. On the other side, she trips on the curb and falls.
Ah!
A man helps her up.
Are you all right?
Selena nods.
Yeah, I'm all right. Where am I? Which side am I on?
What?
I'm blind. I can't see where I am.
Well, you have no right to be out alone. Where do you live?
73. 73 Pine Street.
Oh, that's around the corner.
He puts his arm around her waist and leads her home. Back in her apartment, Selena lies curled up on her cot facing the wall. Sitting up, she drops her feet to the floor. Her shoulders limp, she goes to the window at the foot of her bed and moves the curtain aside. Children play on the street below. Selena closes the window.
And now in a moment, 5 o'clock forum. This topical program is brought to you each day by Swish.
She walks over to the radio and shuts it off.
It's 5 o'clock. I gotta go to work.
Oh, you have to?
I certainly do. If you expect to live a life of luxury, swilling down pineapple juice.
Oh, I'm blind. I can't see where I am.
Why, you've no right to be out alone.
With a somber frown, Selena walks over to her cot.
No right. No rights at all. Do I have to take this? Do I have to?
She storms over to old Pa's bed and kicks it.
I hate you, old Pa. I hate you, you dirty, drunken, selfish old bastard. I hate you.
She goes to Roseanne's bed.
I hate you too, Roseanne. You filthy, cheap, stinking whore. You mean, ugly, slobbering cow. I hate you both. I hate everybody. Everybody in this lousy, stinking world. I hate them. I hate them all.
She slaps her palms against the door.
I hate them. I'm a good man. I know I'm a good man. Oh.
She sags against the door.
Oh, my darling.
Sliding to the floor, she curls her head to her knees. Now a young teenage boy jogs up the front steps of the apartment building. Inside the apartment, Selena sits against the front door, her head hung low. She looks up.
Who is it?
I got a message.
There's nobody home.
I got a message for Darcy.
Selena slowly pushes herself to her feet and opens the door.
Mrs. Darcy ain't here.
Your name's Selena?
My name is... Yeah, that's my name.
I got a message for you from my father.
Your father? For me?
Yeah, Mr. Faber. He said to tell you he had a phone call from a friend of yours, from Mr. Ralph.
He wants to know if you're sick or something.
Are you sick?
No. No, I'm not sick.
Well, then, if you're not sick, he said he'd meet you tomorrow. He said you'd understand.
I understand. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Grinning, Selena closes the door.
What?
I almost goofed. Papa said he had to go through the park tomorrow. You want to go?
Oh, yes. Tell your father yes, please.
Okay. Bye now.
Goodbye.
She shuts the door. Hugging her shoulder, she jumps up and down, then hurries into the kitchen. She takes plates, cups, and a saucer out of the dish drainer, stacks them up, then carries them to the table. As she sets them down, two teacups tumble off. Now Selena helps Gordon clear dishes from his kitchen table.
Those eggs were great.
I think I'm going to hire you as a full-time cook.
You couldn't afford me.
I think I'll make my brother the doctor pay half.
I won't have you share me with Mark.
She stands beside him at the kitchen sink, holding a dish towel.
I'm going to give you my phone number. You
called yesterday, you know, and saved yourself a lot of grief.
Wouldn't have done no good. We haven't got a phone.
There must be a payphone somewhere nearby.
Maybe.
I'll walk you home today and we'll find one.
He hands her a plate.
I don't know how to phone, Gordon.
We'll take care of that, too, at the same time.
Her plate slips.
Oh, Gordon, I'm sorry.
It's all right, it's all right. It happens to me all the time.
I never break anything, really, I don't.
She helps him clean it up.
Why'd I have to break some of yours?
Just forget it.
He kisses her forehead.
Is that a kiss?
He shrugs.
That was a kiss.
Kiss me again.
As he gives her a peck on the forehead, she takes his face in her hands and slowly kisses his lips. He closes his eyes. Selena's hands caress his neck, and she pulls him closer, rubbing her cheek against his. Gordon opens his eyes, his brow creased.
Oh, Gordon.
She hugs him tightly.
Gordon. Oh.
His mouth slack, Gordon turns toward her, nuzzling her ear, then burying his face in her neck.
I wish I'd never been done over.
He steps back and stares at her.
What did you say?
Nothing.
His eyes search her face. He steps past her to the sink, then turns and gives her a heavy stare. Selena walks over to the table and sinks into a vinyl cushioned chair. Oh. Gordon braces himself against a cupboard above the counter. He glances at Selena, who lowers her head.
I'm sorry. You were much sinned against.
Are you angry with me?
He shakes his head.
No.
Do you think I'm bad? Dirty?
He turns and leans close to Selena.
No, I don't.
I said what I did because I love you so much.
He squats beside her.
I know why you said it. I'm glad you said it. You brought me back to Earth.
I didn't want you to come back to Earth. I wanted you to make love with me.
Gordon looks away, his eyes searching.
I know.
He glances down, then stands and goes back to the sink. Selena takes the dish towel from the table and joins Gordon. He hands her a plate. Later in the living room, Gordon hands her a record. Feeling the hole in the center, Selena guides it onto the turntable. Behind her, Gordon picks up a small metal box, lifts the hinged lid, then closes it and looks around. Crossing the living room, he finds a pack of cigarettes and taps it against his hand. At the record player, Selena smiles.
Light.
She hurries across the room, picks up a book of matches, and lights one. Gordon dips his cigarette into the flame, takes a drag, and blows a cloud of smoke toward the ceiling. He sits on the couch and puts his feet up on the coffee table.
Hey, can I try, Puff?
As she kneels beside him, he holds out the cigarette.
He won't like it.
She puts her lips on it.
Don't blow. Draw.
I told you.
You really like that?
He shrugs.
Helps me to think.
Are you thinking now?
Uh-huh. Thinking about you, as a matter of fact.
Oh? What about me?
He taps her hand with his fist.
You cannot go on living the way you are. It's a dark age story.
I don't know what else I can do.
Well, there must be some way.
He puts out a cigarette.
I'm all right, Gordon. Really, I am. I've never been so happy before.
That's good, Selena. But we have to look ahead. Things change.
I don't want anything to change. I just want to go on being with you.
That's just it. You can't be with me all the time. I don't want you to go on living with Roseanne either. I'll think of something. Now, if I'm going to walk you all the way home, it's time I got changed.
He goes into his bedroom. Selena, her eyes hidden behind her black sunglasses, turns and makes her way back across the room. She pushes a switch on the turntable. The record drops and the needle swings into place. Mark comes in the front door.
Hello. This is a surprise.
Mark?
He drops a newspaper onto a small table.
You know, I'm always finding you abandoned. I don't know why you put up with it. Don't you get mad at him?
I could never get mad at Gordon.
He looks her up and down.
But where is he this time?
He's changing his clothes.
Excuse me.
He goes into the bedroom.
Hi.
Gordon puts on a shirt.
You bring that girl here every day now?
No. Just a second time.
Well, maybe you better make it the last.
Wait a minute. Since when are you my keeper?
Listen, I don't want to be your keeper, but I don't like to see you wasting your time either. I think that girl comes from a trash heap.
Mark goes into the bathroom.
Maybe, but she isn't trash. Given half a chance, she could be something.
You planning on providing that chance?
I think I can help.
Gordon buttons his shirt.
Get her in a school.
You plan on educating a white girl? Man, that's not your job. Let Whitey educate his own women. They never given us anything but a hard time.
Okay, Mark. Let's not get into a political argument. This is a personal matter.
Yeah, too personal for my life.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that nobody takes this kind of interest in a girl if there isn't something in it.
You're off your stick.
Yeah? All right, then tell her. Tell her she can never really mean anything to you.
Look, on race and politics, we don't agree, so let's drop this.
Tell her that she can't fit in here. If she could see, she'd know that already.
I said drop it. Let me handle this my way.
Well, this isn't your way. Damn it, facts have always been facts to you. No half-truths. You've rammed that down my throat often enough. Now, you go out there and tell her the score, man, or I will.
Don't tell me what to do.
Gordon glares at him. He heads into the bathroom, then stops and turns to Mark.
She doesn't have to know the score. I want to get her settled somewhere first. Is that clear?
Yeah. Well, just make sure you can see the forest. Make sure the trees aren't getting in the way.
He picks up his coat and goes into the living room. Selena looks up as Mark heads into the other room. Gordon comes out. He walks over to the record player and turns it off.
Let's go.
As Selena gets up, Gordon picks up her bead case.
I've got it.
Later, they walk together down Selena's street.
555-3268.
555-3268.
Right.
Gordon opens the door to a phone booth and Selena steps inside.
Pick up the receiver.
Selena's fingers move over the rotary phone and she locates the receiver.
Here's a dime.
He places the dime in her open hand. A smile flickers across Selena's face as she searches for the coin slot. Gordon takes her wrist and guides her to it. Selena grins and traces the number holes with her forefinger.
This one?
Mm-hmm, that's the one.
She dials zero on the phone.
Operator? I'm blind and I can't read the dial. Would you please get me 555-3268? Doing it. It's ringing.
Selena's smile fades. She hangs up.
Mumber doesn't answer. It's a shame to trouble him for nothing.
I'm sorry I wasn't in.
What's that?
Well, your money comes back when nobody answers. Here.
He opens the coin return.
Hey. Here.
You keep it for good luck.
Now Roseanne and Sadie at a newsstand.
He ain't much trouble.
I'm not having that mangy old buzzard. And I should have thought you'd be glad to lose him.
But you don't mind Selena.
Well, that's different. She can do the chores.
Where can I see it, Sadie?
I'll take you around there tonight. Oh, it's a swell place. You'll love it.
Sadie's jaw drops.
How about that?
She spots Gordon and Selena across the street.
73. You sure you can manage from here?
I'll be fine, Gordon.
He hands her a bead case.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Selena goes inside. Across the street, Sadie smiles at Roseanne.
Get to be a big girl now.
See you later.
Roseanne rushes off. Later, Selena walks into her apartment. She sets her case on the dresser, then starts to walk away. Listening, she hurries back and slips her glasses into the top drawer. Roseanne storms in.
Hello, Roseanne. You're early.
Are you cleaning up this room today?
Yes. Yes, I did, Roseanne.
Well, don't you lie to me. Leave it out again, hmm?
I cleaned up before I went out.
Yeah, doesn't look like it to me.
What's wrong with it? Tell me and I'll fix it.
I'll tell you what's wrong. I seen you with that nigger.
That what?
That black man. You know what I always told you about colored trash?
I don't know all the details. See, my grandmother was... Well, the man, he was from a different world.
And she?
She was just a beautiful woman.
What you grinning at? What you been up to with him?
He's teaching me things. Wonderful things.
I just bet he is. I bet you're learning some swell things from that black buck.
Shut up! Don't you dare say those ugly things about Gordon. He's a lot better than anybody.
Don't you tell me to shut up, you ungrateful little chippy!
Selena slaps her back and shoves her into the kitchen.
Hit me, would you, your own mother? Is that what you're learning from your black boyfriend?
As Roseanne beats her onto the cot, old Pa comes in.
If I ever catch you with him again, I'll beat the
woman! Oh, go on here! What are you trying to do to Selena?
You stay out of this one, you stupid old drunk!
Who are you calling stupid? Why, you three buck brought you!
She whips him with the towel.
Okay, you black-hearted bitch, if you want to fight!
He throws his jacket at her.
You filthy old bum!
He hurls a vase.
Oh, years! I never saw such a filthy old bum! Oh, my own father!
Selena cowers on the cot.
45 is more like it! And you look over there, 45.
Out in the hallway, neighbors look out of their doors.
That 45-year-old boy, you're out of
the time for a buck. Hey, what would you do for a buck?
She dodges a figurine.
What'd you do for a buck, you pig?
Ow!
He braces himself against the table. Roseanne glances at the empty cot.
Selena! Selena!
She hides beneath
it. Oh, I know it.
Roseanne marches over and drags her out.
Selena!
She yanks her hair. In the hallway, the neighbors exchange worried glances, then enter the apartment. Two men try to separate Roseanne and old Pa. They drag old Pa into the kitchen.
Are you all right?
I mind your own stupid business.
Well, I guess it is our business. We thought you were trying to screen the whole bloody building.
No, we didn't, did we? This is a private argument, you...
Come on, get out of our house!
A neighbor's wife steps in.
Yourself, dusty the... Yeah, does he know what goes on across the hall when he's out working?
He?
Yeah, you! Yes, yeah, she wiggles her fat can at the grocery...
The neighbor points at his wife, who throws up her hands, frantically waving a dish towel. Roseanne and old Pa shove all the neighbors out.
I got one of them.
Roseanne locks the door.
Did you see the look on his face?
We fixed them good.
Old Pa holds a frying pan. Roseanne steadies herself against the dresser, then notices Selena hunched over on the floor.
Stop that. Stop it, Selena.
Leave her be. She's sick.
Come on, get up. Get up.
I can't.
Roseanne picks her up.
Oh, come on.
Easy with her.
She dumps Selena on the cot, then winces at the floor.
Oh, what a mess.
Old Pa drops down on his bed.
What are you sitting down for? Clean it up.
What?
You heard me. She'll just make it worse.
You do it. She's your kid.
I'm gonna take a bath.
Unzipping the back of her skirt, Roseanne goes into the kitchen and turns on a light. Selena eases herself up from the cot. Feeling her way around the table, she goes over to old Pa and kneels on the floor beside him.
I feel so sick, old Pa.
Me too. I'm an old man, Selena. Too old. I can't clean it up. I like to, but I can't. I'm going out to get plastic. You understand, Selena?
Don't go out. Not tonight, old Pa.
I have to. Sorry, Selena. I'm a no good old drunk.
He stands up.
I'm a flop.
Taking his jacket off the chair, he turns and walks out the door. Selena bows her head. Now, Roseanne turns over in bed and shuts off her alarm clock. Wearing a black dress with a gathered off-the-shoulder neckline, she gets up, puts on slippers and a robe, and strides over to Selena's cot. She grabs her arm.
Come on out of it. I got a lot to do today.
Selena sits up.
And I settled your hash, too. Killed two birds with one stone.
What do you mean, Rosette?
We're moving out of this dump.
Moving out?
Shh! Keep your voice down. He don't have to know everything.
Selena follows her into the kitchen.
But why are we moving?
Me and Sadie got plans.
You and Sadie?
Quit talking like some parrot. Me and Sadie are going in together. We got a new place. Sadie says we can make some real dough.
Doing what?
Don't ask stupid questions. All I know is I got a chance to get out of that crummy hotel job. And I ain't gonna miss it.
I don't want to go any place with that Sadie.
You'll do as you're told and consider yourself lucky that she'll have you after what we've seen.
Roseanne spits out toothpaste.
Well, what about old Pa?
Knife of them got old Pa. There ain't gonna be any room.
Couldn't I stay here and look after him? I don't want to leave old Pa.
Oh, that would suit you, wouldn't it, on your own? No telling what you wouldn't get into. Not a chance.
She grabs the coffee pot.
Here.
Now Gordon talks on the phone.
I see. But you could take a girl of that age. Yes, I understand. All right. Yes. I'll be there tomorrow at 3. Thank you.
He hangs up, then strides out the front door. On the street, Selena stands in the phone booth, holding the receiver to her ear. Gordon's phone rings. Back on the street, Roseanne and Sadie walk past Selena in the booth.
Thanks to you, doll, I've seen the last of that place. I told them just what they could do with their lousy job.
Well, good for you.
I've been waiting to do it for years.
Selena comes out of the phone booth and heads in the opposite direction. Later, Roseanne and Sadie walk into the apartment.
It's mighty nice of you, doll, to give me a hand. I wasn't looking forward to packing all this stuff.
Well, we're partners now, ain't we?
Roseanne looks around.
Selena!
There's no one there.
Can you believe it? After the smacking around I gave her last night? Get going on this stuff, honey. I'll be back as soon as I can.
She hurries out. On the street, Selena feels her way along storefronts to the corner. Crossing the sidewalk, she finds the lamppost, then waits beside it with a group of pedestrians. As the people start to walk, Selena steps off the curb and crosses the street, counting to herself. At the other side, she steps onto the curb and walks over to the corner of a building. She stops there, her back to the wall. Meanwhile, Roseanne meets old Pa as he comes out the front door of a brick building.
Come on, Speedy Gonzalez, get a move on.
Look, Roseanne, I told you the place. There ain't any sense of me coming through.
I want to make sure.
She drags him down the steps. In the park, Gordon paces slowly near Selena's tree wearing a gray suit. His hands in his pockets, he looks around, then stops. Across the park, Selena walks slowly along the edge of the path toward the rose garden. Gordon jogs over to her.
Congratulations, you made it!
Gordon.
Hello!
Oh, Gordon, I tried to phone you, but you weren't home.
Why, what happened?
Well, Roseanne's taken me away. I won't be able to get here anymore.
Where is she taking you?
I don't know exactly, but she's leaving her job. She's moving in with Sadie. They're going to start one of those places.
Holding her hands, Gordon glances around. He touches her arm, and they start to walk side by side.
Gordon.
Well, Roseanne must be some dame.
Oh, she sure is.
Come, let's sit over here. And just put the whole cockeyed idea out of your mind, Selena.
How can I? I can't help wondering what might happen to me in a place like that.
Just forget it. Now, there are laws against what Roseanne and Sadie have in mind.
Selena sits.
And a word or two in the right place will soon take care of that.
The cops won't do anything. The cops like Roseanne.
You don't know anything about it, so stop worrying.
I can't help worrying about it while it hangs over my head.
It is not hanging over your head. Not anymore. In a few days, I hope you'll be leaving Roseanne for good. I found a school for you.
school. At my age?
People go to school at all ages.
But if you can stop Roseanne starting a place, I won't need to go to school. Then things can stay just the way they are.
The way things are, Selena, isn't good enough. You do want to learn how to live properly, don't you?
Yes, I do. But this school, is it far away?
Not too far.
I'll be with strangers. They'll laugh at me.
I don't think they will.
And there's something else we can do.
I think this is best.
Will I still be able to see you?
Of course you will. Okay?
He gazes warmly at her, then looks around.
You know, I think it's about time you fix me some lunch.
Okay, go.
Come on.
They stand up, their arms touching, they stroll off down the path.
Jeepers, I nearly forgot. There's something I gotta get.
She hurries across the grass toward her tree. Roseanne marches into the park, followed by old Pa.
I'm gonna miss my lunch.
Oh, come on!
At the tree, Selena kneels and digs her hands into the dirt at the base of the trunk. Gordon leans against the tree, watching her. Roseanne and old Pa trot along the path, then stop. Roseanne glares toward the tree, her cheeks puffed out. She runs toward Gordon and Selena. Selena uncovers the music box.
I hope it's still okay.
Now find me again, would you, you little tramp?
Wait a minute.
Oh, and as for you, I got a good mind to call a cop.
From what I hear, that wouldn't be such a bad idea.
What? Where do I get you home, blabbermouth?
She grabs Selena, who takes off running. As Gordon sprints after her, Selena falls into the rose bushes. Gordon picks her up and cradles her in his lap.
Be quiet, sorry.
Take your filthy hands off my kid!
Leave her alone, Mrs. Darcy.
He slaps her hand.
Did you see that? He struck me.
Gordon picks up Selena.
You can't get away with this.
He shoves Roseanne, then leads Selena away.
That's my daughter he's got there. That's my daughter.
The small crowd disperses.
Ain't anybody gonna do nothing?
Roseanne glares at the people.
Selena! You come back here.
Selena turns around.
You realize what you're doing? You fool, you blind little fool, come back here.
Selena and Gordon jog back to the rose garden. Holding Selena's hand, Gordon retrieves the music box for her.
Selena!
Roseanne grabs Gordon, but old Pa pulls her off.
Whose side are you on? Don't you care what happens to the kid?
She ain't a kid anymore, Roseanne.
Roseanne shoots them an angry glare. Later, Selena sits on the couch in Gordon's dark apartment, wearing her sunglasses. Gordon comes home.
Selena?
Yes, Gordon?
What are you doing in the dark?
He turns on the lights. Oh,
sorry.
It's okay. Old Pa's always doing that.
Well, it's all set.
He strolls across the room and closes a phone book.
They can take you tonight.
He drops the book on a table.
They're sending a whole school bus for you. They'll call when it's on its way.
Selena anxiously squeezes the corner of a throw pillow.
I'll put the camera on. I thought you'd like some coffee.
She jumps up and hurries into the kitchen. Gordon lowers his head, then follows her. He turns on the light and leans casually against the fridge.
They wanted to know how old you were. I told them 18. That's right, isn't it?
Yes. April 23rd.
At the table, she unscrews the lid of a coffee jar.
Look, you must...
Gordon hesitates, then turns and goes into the living room.
Gordon Ralph. Yes, that's right. Thank you. Yes, she'll be ready.
Selena listens. She measures a spoonful of coffee as Gordon returns to the kitchen.
That was the school. The bus is on its way.
Already?
She spoons coffee into a china cup.
When will I be able to see you?
Standing by the fridge, Gordon glances over at her.
Oh, I'll be around.
He watches her from behind as she feels the tray in front of her, then walks over to the sink.
Are you married already?
She carries a creamer and sugar back to the table. Gordon smiles.
What do you mean, already?
I mean, I thought, well, you never said you were married. I was thinking if you were already married, then that's why...
As she turns toward him, Gordon takes the kettle off the stove, brings it to the table, and uncaps the spout.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked. Please be tolerant.
It's all right. You can ask me anything. No, I'm not married. I've never been married.
Then why don't you...
Why don't I ask you to marry?
Not ask, just marry. You don't have to ask.
Come. We'll take this inside.
He carries the coffee tray into the living room.
There's something I want to talk about before the bus arrives.
He sits.
I'm not wrong, am I? You do love me, don't you?
Of course.
Gordon, you've gone away from me. Everything is changing.
He stands up.
No, I haven't.
He goes to her and she puts her arms around him.
I thought you'd gone away.
Sit down.
He guides her to a chair at the end of the coffee table, walks around to the other side, then stoops toward her.
Selena, there are many kinds of love. Most of them have nothing to do with marriage.
You mean you don't want to marry me?
I believe there are reasons why it wouldn't work out.
Because of my being blind? Because of where I come from?
Selena, you'll meet many new people, men and women. You will see lots of things differently. And after a time, you'll be able to tell. We'll both be able to tell whether what we feel for each other has anything to do with marriage.
How long is all this going to take?
Let's say a year from today.
A year? A year's forever. I couldn't hold out longer than a week.
A year is not forever, Selena. Now you listen to me for a minute. There's something I want to tell you about me.
I know everything I need to know about you.
She moves toward him.
I love you.
Her hands touch his face.
I know you're good and kind. I know you're colored.
What's that?
And I think you're beautiful.
His face softens. He lets out a short breath and smiles.
Beautiful. Most people would say the opposite.
Well, that's because they don't know you.
Gordon glances down. They remain face to face for a moment. As Selena drops her gaze, Gordon stands and goes over to the window. He looks out through the Venetian blinds. A small bus is parked on the street a few stories below. Wiping the dust from his fingers, Gordon strolls slowly over to the front door and pushes a button on the wall. Selena stands up. Gordon puts his hand on the back of her chair.
Say goodbye, Selena.
As he walks toward her, she throws her arms around him.
Gordon, do I really have to go?
He nods.
Yes, darling. For a while.
Selena clings to him. Gordon moves his hands to her arms and gently pushes her away. Selena's hands tremble in front of her.
How did you learn about me?
Roseanne saw us together yesterday.
Selena tenses. Gordon stares at the door.
You want me to come with you?
Have to say goodbye again?
She slowly shakes her head. Gazing down at her, Gordon leans in and gives her a soft kiss on the forehead. He walks over to the door and opens it.
This is Selena Darcy.
She's ready.
A driver in a dark uniform and a cap waits as Gordon guides Selena to the door. The driver takes her hand and leads her away down the hall. Dropping his gaze, Gordon closes the door. He unbuttons and removes his suit coat, folds it lengthwise, and lays it over the back of a chair. Loosening his narrow black tie, he heads toward the kitchen, then glances at the bookcase. He grabs his grandmother's music box and runs out the door. Jogging over to the elevator, Gordon presses the button. His eyes scanning the hallway, he turns and rushes to a set of carpeted stairs behind him. He sprints down three flights of stairs, then runs outside just as Selena's bus pulls away down the lamplit street. His jaw slack, Gordon watches the bus drive away. Heaving a sigh, he tosses the music box and catches it. His lips pressed tightly, he gazes thoughtfully at the box. and slowly turns and walks toward his building. As he ascends the front steps, he turns, staring in the direction of the bus, then goes inside. Our view drifts up into the leafy branches of a small tree and credits appear. A patch of blue, the end, presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Cast of characters, Sidney Poitier as Gordon Ralph, Shelley Winters as Roseanne Darcy, Elizabeth Hartman as Selena Darcy, Wallace Ford as Old Pa, Ivan Dixon as Mark Ralph, Elizabeth Fraser as Sadie, John Quallen as Mr. Faber, Kelly Flynn as Yannick Faber, Debbie Storm as Selena, age 5, Renata Vani as Mrs. Favoloro, Saverio Lomedico as Mr. Favoloro.